Someone observed that the best indicator of where you'll be in 5 years are the close friends you have today. That's an interesting observation. And when your son or daughter reaches the teen years, that does lead to the question of how can I help them find good friends so that in 5 years they'll be sitting in a pretty good spot. I'm John Fuller, along with Dr. Danny Huerta, who heads up the Focus on the Family Parenting Department. And we're going to hear now from three parents, Shauna Hudson, Ellen Slotman, and Nick DuPont. They talked with Focus President Jim Daly about their experience walking their child through a Focus on the Family curriculum called Launch into the Teen Years. And today they address the need your teen has for good friends.
Nick, there's an illustration in the kit where we describe friendship fences and the importance of creating those friendship fences. Yeah. How did you absorb that and how did you illustrate that to your son?
Yeah, so the friendship fence is a barrier that a child puts between their heart and their life. It's a metaphor for what type of friends they're going to allow kind of into their inner circle or to influence them in a big way. So every fence has a gate, and if you leave that gate open, there's going to be a lot of people trying to come in and influence you. So if a potential friend has the character traits that are in your friendship fence, like being a faithful friend as opposed to being a fair weather friend, being able to forgive people or be forgiving as opposed to being more toxic and holding a grudge, then they're allowed to come in. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody else is, you know, on the outside. You still want to, you know, talk with everybody, love on everybody, but you're not just going to let them be in that inner circle of your
heart. It's so good to give young people permission to think logically about what is healthy for me. And sometimes if you're not having those discussions as a 12-year-old, is it okay if I don't let somebody in my fence?
Right.
And you don't really know the answer to that. Maybe you feel mean-spirited or, you know, I'm not being kind if I don't let that person into my area, right?
Yeah.
And that's critical. And let me ask you, in terms of the friendship and influencing decisions that you talked over with your kids, how did that discussion go?
I would say with the friendship discussion, it was one of our biggest.
Really?
Hits, if you want to call it. Yeah. I had the most discussion, the most input from my boys, and maybe I just caught them at a really great time where they're, you know, they were just out of, I had one in fifth grade, I think, and one in seventh. So it was just that new, like, middle school age, and they were just, kids got out of elementary and were starting to, you know, act differently.
Right.
They weren't as nice. Their language changed, and my boys just started to realize that a lot of friendships that they had known were completely different. And we had a lot of discussion about how, you know, those friendships weren't worth pursuing anymore. And they had to, there was some emotional responses that I was surprised at. And we just grieved some friendships that we knew just
were
going really a different direction.
That is really powerful, though, that they listened to you.
Yeah.
I think some parents, looking back on my experience, you know, I may have been a little concerned that if I pushed too hard in that direction, they may not have responded well. So that's really courageous on your part as a parent to equip them to be scrutinizing their friendships.
Right.
And when the friendships are not healthy, to be able to shut the door of the fence of their heart, right?
Yeah, it was a great teaching moment to just be able to teach them how to recognize the differences.
Yeah. Shauna, let me move to another concept out of the kit. We described consumers and contributors. How did you apply that? What do those terms mean and how did you apply it?
So the terms are described for you in the launch journal, which is really nice. And it talks about that consumers, we're consumers by nature, that we want what's best for us and that we don't often think about other people. And so it talked about friendships and how we could be contributors. And what I liked with the friendship fence was I had my kids draw it on a piece of paper. And then they took all of their friends. I had them list their friends. And then they put each friend inside or outside of the fence. And then I had them also put themselves where they were for each friend.
Yeah.
And so it was good because we were having friendship issues at the time. And it was really good for them to be able to see maybe some of my problems is that I'm being a consumer
Yeah.
I'm in this friendship for me. What can I get out of this person instead of what does this person need from me?
You know, well,
maybe,
really
maybe God
good.
Put this person yeah. in my life because this person needs me and not that I need that person. And that was a great conversation.
Yeah. And I think that's so good to say when we approach the building of Launch into the Teen Years, that it's not just about sexuality. It's about human behavior, right?
Yes.
Which, you know, of course, sexuality is a big part of it, but it's also how you treat people and how they treat you in all facets.
Well, Danny, following up on what Jim and the guests were talking about, how did you and Heather chat with your kids about their friends once they reach the teen years?
Well, hopefully we really actually started talking about this many years before that. But in the teen years, it shifted a bit. We started to talk about what are the characteristics you want to look for in a friend as they're making bigger decisions, more adult-like decisions. And we talked about the importance of humility. And I love Isaiah 66:2. It says, "But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word." Look for a humble person because they see things very differently in the sense that they don't go with whatever the flow is of culture.
Yeah, they're not positioning themselves to fit in with whatever the culture says is a good thing.
Right, we talked about the thirst that we have, right? The thirst for belonging, the thirst for worth, the thirst for a sense of competence, and the thirst for this independence or this autonomy. And there's some friends that are going to guide you in very destructive ways that way, and you need to see the behaviors. And then you have some other friends that are making great decisions. And so we talked about, what are some friends that show life-giving type of behaviors and words? And what are some friends that maybe are more destructive? They're going through a time of trying to gain attention and affirmation rather than just being loving people. And so a question I have asked my kids, these are actually a few, what do trustworthy friends look like? And we had conversations, a conversation started for us. Another one I asked is, what decisions have you seen be not so good ones that your friends have made, and then some good ones, and what was that like for them? Mm. And then when you pick your friends, is it out of love and wisdom, or is it out of fear and desperation? What are you wanting in that friendship, and why are you choosing that friend?
Yeah, those are good questions.
Yeah, it's important to ask our kids questions as they're considering relationships, right, John?
Yeah, well, it is, and don't do what I did with one of my kids when I said that person's a bad influence. You shouldn't hang around with them.
Mm.
Because, of course, what my child did.
That's right, yeah. yeah.
Must be a good friend, you know. Dad doesn't know dirt. So so don't give rules. Ask questions. I love those questions. Can we write those up maybe and put those in the show notes?
We can do that, yeah.
That would be great.
And John, sometimes there are destructive friends and we have to step in. We have to say, that is toxic, that's destructive. We need to talk about this, and we need to figure out why you've chosen this friend.
Maybe we can follow up. That feels like a whole nother episode.
Yes.
How do you sever the ties? In this day and age of interconnectedness through the web and through so many different tools and apps, it's really hard to cut off a destructive relationship. We'll follow up sometime on that. For now, what we've heard today were three parents who really benefited from our Launch into the Teen Years curriculum. And then we heard from one parent who was the driver for that project, Danny Huerta. And so get the wisdom that you've heard today by getting a copy of this kit, Launch into the Teen Years. It's a terrific conversation piece. It's a great tool to use on a weekend getaway or over a series of bagels and discussion. However it looks for you, get Launch into the Teen Years, the kit. When you make a donation of $60 or more to the Ministry of Focus on the Family today, it's a pretty big, comprehensive kit. And so we're asking for a donation of $60 or more today. You'll find details in the show notes, and we'll thank you in advance for your generosity, and we'd love to hear your feedback, trusting that you're going to have great stories to tell like the three parents we heard from in the clip. And then we have something new called Age and Stage. There's a newsletter that you can get that will help you understand the seasons of development for your child and some of the conversation points that you can have with them. It covers 0 to 18, and so your preteen and teen year experience will be reflected in these newsletters. You're going to get encouragement, questions, and some assurance. So sign up today for our Age and Stage newsletter. The link is in the show notes. And next time, we'll hear about the need to guard your teen's tech use, something that's always challenging. For now, on behalf of Dr. Danny Huerta and our entire team, thanks for listening to the Focus on the Family Parenting Podcast.